Special guest
Alejandro Escovedo.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. I'm your host Dave. Alongside me, as always, is
Trevor.
What's happening?
Well, we just had another just really great conversation with the special guest.
That was really awesome. I had a ton of fun. As you heard in the intro, our good friend Alejandro joined us. And yeah, we had a really awesome talk about running music. I'm surprised we balanced that about 50-50. But yeah, really, really cool conversation. Fun to hear from Alejandro while he's out on the road promoting his new record, Echo Dancing. We didn't ask about it. I think he's out for like ever. Like, I think it's a pretty long tour. I think he said to me, I don't remember if this was while we were recording or not, that they're like entering the second month of the tour right now.
Out of how many?
I don't know.
A lot.
Yeah, I think they're doing like a few in the spring and then a few more in the fall. So it's like, you know, maybe you take July or August or both off, but kind of just like a lot of touring in 2024. We didn't get into a lot of details and ask about that to plug it properly. So if you're interested, dear listener, I recommend looking up Alejandro's tour dates and seeing when him and his band is coming to your city and going to check them out, because great, great live show.
See Alejandro, Scott Danbaum, a lot of others.
Yeah, and we could hear a little more detail about that and a lot more interesting stuff in our conversation. Should we go to that now?
Let's do it.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
It's important that we maintain eye contact the whole time. So that's an important part of this exercise. This isn't just an interview. It's also a spiritual practice.
All right. Well, I'm in.
Good.
Alejandro, this reminds me of that time you were in the band The Nuns, and then many years later you talked about how people cheer for them at shows when you mention it, and you're like, well, you must not have heard The Nuns.
you never saw The Nuns. I heard that too.
Yeah, The Nuns were funny. You know, it was my first band, and I think that we were a lot better than I give credit for, you know, than I recognize the band being. It was a funny time. It was my very first band, and we got pretty popular in San Francisco, and we opened up that, you know, we used to play with every New York band that would come through, because we had a connection with Howie Klein, the writer. And through him, we met Sandy Pearlman and Richard Meltzer, Lester Bangs, and we played with the Ramones, the Dictators, Blondie, all the New York bands we played with, you know. So we kind of, you know, we're very different than the other West Coast bands in a way, you know.
Very different.
That was the beauty. That really was the beauty of those times. Every band was really different, you know. Nobody was the same. And there wasn't like, that was pre like where they started identifying, you know, different kind of like, I don't know, they kind of ghettoized the music in that, you know, they suddenly, you had to be punk, hardcore, funk, hardcore, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, all these different labels, you know, country punk or whatever. But prior to that, it was just like whatever was cool, you know.
And who wants to see like four country punk bands in a row?
Not me.
Yeah,
not
that's me. Too much. That's too much. Like, you know, like I want to see one.
I don't even want to see one.
Well, you've seen enough, honestly. I suppose, over the years that you've gotten it out of your system.
Yeah, I don't want to even see one. But that's good. Yeah. You know, whatever makes people happy, I guess.
That's awesome. I got a Nuns record somewhere on vinyl, actually.
Well, you know, it's funny because the Nuns record I did not play on, but they put my photograph on the cover.
That's,
you know,
the part that matters.
Yeah,
the version I have doesn't even have a photo on it, so maybe it's on the back.
Well, you know, do you have a single?
No, I have like the full length that came out. I think you were gone by then. Yeah,
because we had a single. We had two singles, I think.
Okay.
One was "Cock in My Pocket." We did the Stooges song.
Oh, nice.
And then we did one that was our stuff, like one of Jennifer's songs and one of the band songs. Yeah.
Awesome. I wish I could have been there. caught the Nuns, and then I don't know, the Dwight Twilley band. I don't know who'd be on next there.
You know who was really great in San Francisco was Crime, the band Crime. They were amazing, man. Really? They were my favorite band. Them and another band called Sleeper were really, really great.
I don't know Sleeper. I used to have that Crime album though.
Out of Sleeper came the Toiling Midgets and the Offs and bunch of cool bands, you know.
I hope people go on a deep dive after listening to this, to listen to all of this. It reminds me of like when I read the book American Hardcore, and he goes through like the whole country and names like every hardcore band everywhere.
Wow.
And so then there's obviously tons that, you know, no one has heard, but in the age of the internet, you can now look up most of those bands.
Yeah, yeah. I used to love those Roar tapes. Do you remember those? Did you guys, too young to remember those? But they were like, they would have like, you know, like it seemed like 100 hardcore bands international, like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
On one cassette, you know.
And you could fit 100 on each side.
Yeah, yeah. And we could always, we would always pop that in. We were touring with Los Lobos, you know. And it was just a grueling tour, like 42 shows in 45 days or something. And
what band was with Los Lobos? Was that True Believers? What band was touring with Los
True
Lobos?
Yeah, True Believers, yeah.
Sweet.
And we had to chase them around the country, you know, because they had a bus. They had the Fabulous T-Birds bus.
Nice.
And we were in our 15-passenger van, you know.
That's still
but
not
we would
bad.
Chase them around. But we would always pop that Roar speed metal tape in there, you know, and just try to catch up with them, you know.
Yeah, back in the old days, you had to just listen to whatever albums you had over and over again on tour, because you didn't have, now you can listen to the entire, everything on Spotify, you know.
Yeah, that's true. You know, once with Buick McCain was a band that was really more of a party than a band, you know. and we borrowed a van from some other band that was in town in Austin, and we left very late because we had to buy enough. We had to stock our bar in the van, you know. So we left late for the gig. It was in Houston. And the only tape they had was Rod Stewart's Greatest Hits, you know. And suddenly we got so drunk that we thought that Hot Legs would be a great cover for that night, you know.
I think
we ended up trying to play it like 3 or 4 times, you know. It wasn't good. We never played that club again after that.
I love that song. That song made me realize that I think Rod Stewart has one song on every album, about how he hopes that when he wakes up in the morning, the woman he was with the night before is gone. And that's a
great song, though. It's, you know, it's a fun song. It's kind of a silly song, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah. It's I don't know who's on it. It sounds like Ronnie Lane, but I don't think it is. I mean, Ron Wood.
I tried to get Mac to play on it, Ian McLagan to play on it once when we were playing at the Hole in the Wall. He wouldn't do it because he just hated it. He hated that song. Yeah.
Did he play on it?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a fake Faces song.
Yeah. That's a post Faces song.
It sounds like it's trying to sound like that, but it's not them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
So a few years later, Alejandro in San Francisco, did you ever, so this was like, if you were at the, like, surely sort of early and sort of like the rise of that style of music in San Francisco, a band called The Mummies might've been sort of at the decline. Did you ever hear them sort of late
80s? I know The Mummies. Yeah. I know them, but, I don't remember them back then. I really don't. I'm sorry, but I don't. Yeah.
No, I've only seen videos, but they dressed like mummies and fell over their instruments and played songs like One Potato, Two Potato.
Well, I love their style. I mean, that's a pretty cool concept. But yeah, you know, you know, punk rock, as we knew it, I mean, it started pretty early, like late 75 to 76, 77, 78. We broke up in 78. That's when I moved to New York City, you know. And so, like, in a lot of other cities, though, it started later. Like in Austin, I think punk rock really didn't get going until about 80 or 79 or 80. Yeah.
We were talking about Vermont earlier, off pod, and it hasn't even gotten started there yet. So They're still waiting. Yeah, they're still waiting. They'll
still
have
waiting for punk rock. That's yeah. Cool. So it's in its disco phase right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's 1975, and
oh, that's funny.
If any listeners in Vermont disagree, please feel free to write in. we're open to a discussion. I was wondering on this episode, we would talk more music or running, and I might have the answer to my question.
I'm trying to avoid the running subject is what I'm trying to do.
We have all of our guests usually just introduce themselves. And say their name largely so we can splice it into our intro. So if you want to introduce yourself, and you can either say your name or say your name and something about yourself.
Well, my name is Alejandro Escovedo, and I am a guitar player and songwriter from Texas, and I love running, I love running. I do love running. It was cool because I remember talking with you, Dave, about, I was sending you races that we might do and things like that. And I was doing really well. I had a trainer and everything over COVID. It started over COVID and then went beyond, but I had a great trainer. There's a running club in Austin called Rogue Running, and he was part of that. And he was just a great guy to hang out with and run, and, really kind of like we were making a lot of progress. And I was doing mostly half marathons, trail running,
Yeah.
And we did this one race out by Houston. And when we got there, the race director was even saying, oh, I wish I had walked this. Thought about this a little harder because this race is crazy, this race is crazy. So that wasn't a good way to start. But so we start running and I was doing really good. In fact, my second loop, I did faster than the first loop, right? Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of downhill. There was a lot of hills and it was a really difficult race, And so about, you're supposed to wait like a few days afterward and then do a shakeout run kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was doing 5 miles at this park that I run. And on the way back, I could hardly walk. And I had a stress fracture on my left foot, And it was super painful and it took a long, long time to heal. And it kind of freaked me out, actually, about running afterwards. I was just kind of like, because, really, I got to be in shape to play more than anything, And so, I was a little freaked out by that and became a little more cautious about running, actually,
Yeah.
And so I started out slow again. I'm starting to get back into it. But when you're on tour, as you know, Dave, it's really hard to find time to run,
Oh, yeah.
And at this point, because we're doing, 2 hour shows and we're playing 5 to 6 nights a week, it's really hard to find, even like at my age now, the energy to do, to run. Before, I used to be able to run in the morning and do a show at night and it was not a problem. But now I feel like I have to save my energy for the show more than anything.
Yeah. Well, and then also because, we had a good conversation once with keyboard player Jesse Chandler, one of the two best keyboard players from Denton, Texas, about running on tour. But the problem is, it's a little easier if you don't have to sing, And if you have to sing, you have to make sure, it's hard to fake that. It's a little easier to fake your way through an instrument. And if you're feeling like crap, you could still play. But if your voice isn't there, it's just not there.
Yeah, that's a drag too, you're thinking about as a front man, you're thinking about so many different things, especially with my new record, Echo Dancing, because it's kind of, it's got a lot of samples and loops. And once you hit those pads, so the track is running, I pretty much have to be spot on. There's not a lot of wiggle room there for me to improvise or anything, So it's a little different. We've rigged it in a way to where it's kind of analog and digital,
Yeah.
So that if I do mess it up, The drummer can just stop the track and we keep playing through it or something.
Good. The new record is so good. It's good. It's good actually that we remembered to mention that. We sometimes will get through a whole interview and forget to plug whatever's the reason that we're here. But yeah, no, Echo Dancing is so good. And actually it's kind of a perfect fit, because one thing we do here sometimes is review like a song of the week as like as a song to use for running, like as a song you put on your headphones when you're running. And honestly, I put on Echo Dancing and what was track one? John Conquest?
Yeah.
I was like, what? This is a great running song.
Yeah, it's a good one for that.
Running song.
Then I got to track two, Sacramento and Polk. I was like, hey, this is a different kind of great running song. That one's got like what you're talking about, the more of the program beat, you know? And as I wonder where you are, I'm so lonesome.
Yeah, I could cry. Yeah, that's kind of more for fartleks, I guess, or something. You know?
Ah, that's right. We talk about that. We talk about fartleks out here, I guess.
Intervals and the stuff like that. Yeah.
So how are the crowds responding to the new record?
The crowds have been really cool. You know, I'm surprised. I mean, you always get the people. There's always going to be some people who just won't accept it. You know, and because I've been playing so long, and I'm from Texas, people expect a certain thing. You know, and like a lot of people really love the period where I had strings, right? You know, and I'd use cellos and violins. So sometimes people come expecting that. They never get the same thing twice, you know? So you always get the few that don't appreciate it. But for the most part, it's been open arms as far as accepting the music, you know?
Oh,
it's been
awesome.
Fun to play. It's a real challenge to play, actually.
Yeah. You know? It's Are you touring with the same band that recorded it or with a different band?
No, it's a different band. I recorded that record in Italy with Don Antonio and Nicola Peruc on keyboards and stuff.
Oh, cool.
But on tour, I have Scott Danbaum, who played with you, Dave, in Austin.
Another and great Denton, Texas keyboard player.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Scott Danbaum,
You know Scott?
The pod. Well, he's friends with Jesse Chandler, who Dave mentioned earlier. They're both keyboardists from Denton. Yeah,
and we talked about Scott when Jesse was on. So,
and he was in Centromatic for years. You know, Scott was. You know, so
oh, cool.
18 years. And then I have Mark Henney on drums, and he played with He played with Black Joe Lewis. Okay. You know, but he's got a really cool band of his own called the Cold Jackets. And then I have James Mastro, who has been with the Ramp Band for 20 years and was in the Bongos and played with Richard Lloyd and Ivan Julian and Patti Smith and all kinds of people, you know.
That's pretty
He's amazing.
Cool.
Diane Gentile he played with. So, yeah, he's with us as the fourth member. He's our ringer.
You got to have one. You got to have, one unfair person who just saved you the whole
thing. He's great, though. He's great to travel with.
Who's the best runner in the band?
I would have to claim that one. Yeah, right. I would have to claim that one.
I know. I like being the best runner in a band, which that's why I don't play in bands with Trevor anymore, because he's a better runner than me. And we proved it. We had the podcast. We had a running event last summer. And we hosted what we called a community mile. We did in person at the John Lindsay track in the east of the East Village. And also people could remotely send in their times. But Trevor and I did a mile heat head to head and he beat me by 2 seconds. So.
Oh, wow. Well, it was close, huh?
It was photo finish. Well, I mean, photo finish an old fashioned camera maybe, but big exploding flash, but it was close. It was, I was leading the whole way and he took over 150 meters out.
And it was a mile run. Is that what you said?
Mile run, yeah.
One mile.
Yeah. Well,
you guys like those short distances, huh? You're fast guys, right?
When you were talking about the terrain at the half, I'm like, all right, that's right up my alley, because I like a good excuse to go slower, and like terrain is a great excuse for that. You know.
Yeah.
It stops looking like running, but yeah, I, I'm. I'm trying to push out the distance. So I haven't run as far as Dave. Dave does marathons, but I'll do like 25. I think the longest I've done is a 25-mile trail race.
Yeah, I love trail races, man. It's, you know, when I got, I guess it was pretty early on, maybe in the late 90s, I started to become interested in trail running and I fell in love with it. It's just the best, you know. And, you know, it's funny
Fair.
because the trail runners, when you do go to a race, it's a totally different vibe than the road runners, you know. And the trail runners are kind of like surfers in a way, you know. They're all eating edibles and, you know, they're just out there to race and have a great time. And it's really a lot of fun, you know, with them because I don't know, you know, a lot of trail running is hiking in a way, you know. I mean,
Yeah.
there's just certain kind of terrain you can't run over and you have to walk over it or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love it.
That's certainly my thing. And we've been scheming for some time to get Dave out on a trail race. And
Oh, yeah.
it might be an especially obscure trail race that is just the two of us going through the mountains somewhere. But give him the feel for that format, right? Like just
I think you'd
the
love it, Dave.
I'll
The
do
only
it.
thing is, you can't wear your marathon gear out on
No. It's
the
one thing we've talked about it here is it's a good excuse to buy a new pair
trail.
of shoes, you know.
Yeah.
I get to find some fun trail gear and put that on.
There's some really cool trail running stuff, man. I mean, I, what do you, Trevor, what do you run in? What kind of shoe for trail running?
So my primary is Hoka. It works for me, but
Oh, okay,
I've used I like Salomon too. Salomon has some good stuff. What do you
yeah. I've
like to
had
wear?
Salomon. Now I run in the Saucony, what's it called? The Peregrine 13,
Oh
I like, and the
yeah.
14. I like those a lot because they're light, but they're still grippy. And then
Yeah.
I got a pair of these Karhu. I think it's called Karhu. Do you know that brand?
They
Yeah.
made my like 1970s pair of cross-country skis too.
Oh, cool.
Karhu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So I like them because they're a little heavy, but they really do protect your feet, and the grip is pretty amazing on those, you know.
All
So I
about
like
like
those.
yeah, grip and protection, right? And
Yeah, yeah.
I like the cushion too for me, like going downhill especially to have like that, insurance almost. Like if I hit it a little bit wrong, like I've got a little bit of buffer there almost. Some people don't like the bigger stack, but it works for me.
I like the bigger stack too. I think it's cool. And I
Up
have some
to
road, you know, I run I have I think I use the New Balance fuel cells for
Oh,
running on the
nice.
road. Yeah. Yeah, I like those. They're fast,
Okay.
man. They're nice and light and very cool.
I'm going
Yeah.
lighter for road running. For a while, I was getting heavier and more cushion, and now I've gone back in the other direction. And
Yeah.
I think I don't know. I think it's because I think my legs are getting stronger. I just looked at them. They look pretty strong. And so I don't think I need the cushion the way I did maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think, guys, we might have just wandered into the gear shed. That's one of
Nice.
our that's one of our segments. We talk about
Oh,
gear
is it the gear
sometimes.
shed?
This is a
Okay, cool.
very special gear shed episode.
That's right.
Yeah.
We even have an official female gear shed testing correspondent who I live with and sleep in the same bed with. And she sometimes tests female running shoes and gear and reports back. One of my favorite gear sheds ever was we did what we were running in like running, what are those things, Trevor? Sandals?
Yeah, the zero sandals, minimalist sandals that are
Like,
supposed to be like the opposite
oh.
of the stack that are just all about using your foot and
And
using your like the muscles and
her and I got two pairs and we went to the track and we ran like 2 miles and she was just like, oh, these are amazing. It was probably the best gear shed until today, I guess. Because this one was
I don't know if I could do. I tried Ultras for a while because they're zero drop, but I didn't really care for them. Yeah.
It works for some people. It doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work for me either.
Yeah. But I mean, they make great shoes, but I just didn't feel comfortable in them.
Sure. So what's so in terms of trails, what are some of the coolest, you know, what's some of the best areas you've done some trail running in?
You know, my favorite trail run I've ever done was about, it's when I went to go make Echo Dancing. We were driving from Barcelona to Romagna in Italy. And right there on the border, we stopped at this little tiny village. And we were at an Airbnb, not an Airbnb, but like almost like a bed and breakfast kind of vibe, you know? And as Nancy and I are looking out the window, it was at night when we got there, so it was dark. We see a car across the little street there, and it said Raid Light on it, right? And I love Raid Light. I don't know if you guys know that company from France, and they make trail running gear, you know? So I love them. So I thought, man, and they were way up in the mountain, though. We didn't have time to go up to their shop, but it's way at the top of the mountain. But I went on a trail run through those woods and over creeks and rivers and through this little tiny French, you know, little town, you know, village, really, you know. Yeah. But it was just such a beautiful day. I was out on my own. I got a little lost, which I love to do, and found my way back and just felt so good. And, you know, and it was cool that it was right there where Raid Light was, because I love Raid Light, you know. So anyway.
We'll see.
Great trail race.
We'll see if we can get them to. We're always trying to get people to sponsor the podcast. We'll see if we can get them. They'll be glad that we mentioned them preemptively.
Oh, that would be hip. No, yeah, that would be so good.
Recording them. So I'm glad you brought it back to Echo Dancing too, so we can try to keep plugging the new record. Yeah. So you recorded with the same guys you did the crossing with?
Yeah, that's two of them. We didn't have a full band. It was just myself on guitars, Antonio on guitars, and he had a Mellotron and a bass, but we hardly used the bass. And then Nicola had like, it looked like the back of a old Eno, you know, Moog with all the cables everywhere and everything. And he had a Hammond, a Rhodes, a Wurlitzer, you know, we had big B3, the whole thing, you know, so.
That's cool.
That's how we made it, man.
It sounds awesome. I saw you playing with, you know, the crossing with those guys when you were touring that record. And one thing I remember from that performance was I really liked the, not a song from the crossing, but the version you guys did with that band of Sensitive Boys.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's cool to see that you re-recorded Sensitive Boys now for this album. But I don't think it was exactly the same as the way you did it live with that band, if I'm remembering correctly.
No. This is a whole new version, because it's just like a piano piece, you know? It's just solo piano with my voice. And there's a little bit of Mellotron in the very background, but that's it.
Sensitive boys, sensitive clothes. Sensitive words wrapped up in sensitive poems.
I find myself listening to that version wanting to sing the backup vocals from the original version.
Well, you should.
Does that ever happen live? Does the crowd ever jump
in? Yeah, you know, lately the crowd's been, and we do this version of Just Dropped In. Do you know that song?
I don't think so.
You know, I just dropped in to see what my condition was in.
Yeah.
And that's a Mickey Newberry. He's a songwriter from Texas, you know. And so we do this really, we do a version that's more like his original version, which he did with cellos, you know. It's like two or three cellos. It's really awesome.
Cool.
But we really draw out the, you know, it's totally, it's almost like a blues in a way.
Okay.
And so the lot, you know, that phrase just dropped in, I always kind of hang on the phrase before it and create some space, but the audience is usually trying to sing the line before it ever happens. You know, they're blowing the line for me, but it's fun. You know,
It's all right. There's two kind of shows, right? The kind where you're supposed to sing along and the kind where you're supposed to just wait to see what the performer's going to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes as an audience member, you don't realize which one you're at.
I guess not.
Trying to sing, and then you just feel a little embarrassed. Whoops.
Yeah, like it's ain't that kind of show. Yeah, exactly. Like this isn't the Bay City Rollers. Sorry.
Yeah, I just always say, you know, it's not an open mic, folks. You know,
I like that. Yeah. Well, yeah, but you know, so there are probably a few honest mistakes.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I was like coming back to the album today while I was doing my treadmill run, and so this new version of Sensitive Boys popped on while I was running, and so differently than the first two songs on the record, you wouldn't think that's a great running song. So I was running kind of fast, decent amount of incline, and it's this, like you said, this real mellow piano ballad. It did kind of work though. It did. I didn't fall off the treadmill or anything.
Well, it's got a nice, I mean, I wouldn't think that it's a good one for running fast, but it's a good one for slowing down maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for those
digging the scenery, you know,
yeah,
checking out the scenery
for a nice trail run.
Yeah.
Well, I will.
Yeah, Dave, we talk about different like songs and how they run, and I mean, Dave and I have, you know, similar, a lot of overlap, but definitely some divergence in our musical tastes. But as far as running, I sometimes like a good song that just sort of like is really good at passing the time, right? And if it sort of draws it out a little bit too, because when you're running a long time, sometimes that's what you're looking for, just, you know, something to occupy the time and space.
Yeah, I think like the audio books, and I listen to podcasts a lot when I run sometimes. When I do workouts and stuff, I used to use AC/DC. That's about all I would listen to is AC/DC, you know.
For like,
and I love
weights.
The Hives too. I listen to the Hives when I run. So
you listen to AC/DC for lifting weights and stuff?
No, not that kind of working out, but you know, like doing, you know, sprints and, you know,
cool
fartleks and intervals and all that kind of stuff, you know.
The Hives are good. The Hives work for me as well.
Yeah. I love AC/DC though, so I listen to it. It always gets me excited.
Yeah. That's like one of your favorite bands.
That, well, you know, there's just something about, most people don't, you know, I think a lot of people dismiss AC/DC, but I've always been a fan of Australian bands. I really love the rock and roll they create.
Yeah.
So like The Scientists or Be Suburban, I love, you know, of course, Nick Cave and all those cool bands. I have a friend that's in a band called UMI.
Uh-huh.
His name is Tim Rogers. And his music's really cool too, and I listen to that when I run sometimes.
Sweet. It, actually, two of our first, our earliest songs of the week were Australian, like contemporary Australian bands.
Oh yeah,
because I think we were saying at the time that for some reason we didn't know why all the good bands were coming out of Australia right now.
Oh man, there's always been great bands. You know, there was a great Stooges tribute like in the 80s, and it came out of Australia, and it had all those great guitar players from Australia, you know, Kim Salmon and all those guys, you know.
Cool. Awesome.
They were really amazing. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but yeah, Australia's people making good music.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe it's the prisoner lineage. I don't know.
I don't know
what it is.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's some sort of. have you been there? Have you played Australia?
Yes, I have. I love it now.
Yeah,
I love it there. It was one of my favorite trips I've ever made. New Zealand was great too, but it was a drag because we were on the day that we landed in New Zealand was when the Christchurch shooting happened. And so, you know, it was weird because I felt kind of odd as an American because that was the first time they had ever had that type of, I believe, right? That type of mass killing like that, you know.
Yeah, and then they went and changed all their laws after that, right?
Yeah, and they did. Yeah. And so like, but I remember Nancy and I just feeling a little kind of like, you know, this happens all the time where we live, you know. And
yeah,
you know, I don't know, I just felt a little strange. It was strange
like
feeling.
You're intruding on their
yeah, you know. Thing, and yeah. So like we never, in fact, we were supposed to play in Christchurch and we did not go because of that. And We did a concert and in Auckland, and it was really emotional that night. And I played with a guy, the guy who played with me on the bill was from Christ Church, you know.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty heavy. Yeah.
That's a heavy time to go to Australia, and a heavy answer for, yeah, for what I thought was a softball question.
That's what I love about you. No softball questions.
Yeah, exactly. There are no softball questions. I was thinking about when we had Jesse on it. He was talking about a run he was going on in Australia, and then he went to go play the Sydney Opera House, and it sounded just like the most fun day anyone's ever had.
Yeah.
Jesse, this is like a big Jesse callback episode because he's in New Zealand right now, I believe, touring with Beth Orton. Yeah. He's doing some, I think he was just running in Wellington.
Oh, yeah. In Wellington? We were there too. Yeah.
Well, I do want to say that we're getting close to running low on time. So before we actually do get to that point, I wanted to thank you, Alejandro, for helping me get so serious about running.
Oh, shit. You're welcome, man.
Which largely happened because I was running more and more and getting more and more into it. And then, what was it? It was almost 2 years ago. You asked me to run a marathon with you.
Yeah.
That we never ran, but maybe we will one day.
Well, I'm proud of you because you've run, what, 3 or 4 of them now?
I've done 2 since then. The first one I did because I didn't want to run my first one with you. I wanted to make sure I could do it. I didn't want to get out there and bonk at mile 17. So I wanted to just like, so I signed up for one kind of quickly and you know, kind of did an improvised training for it. But now I'm totally hooked.
So do you train with someone? Do you have a trainer?
No. I go pretty, and I'm not very fast. So, you know, which is probably thanks to my unstructured training methods.
Well, the training, I kind of feel like the training was good, not so much for speed, but really helped me like develop more strength in my legs and breathing. The breath became much stronger and open. It was really good meditative kind of exercise he would give me too.
Cool.
You know, so yeah, so it really helped me. I've always felt like he was really important in bringing me back to running, you know.
That's awesome.
In a proper way. Yeah.
I've never had a real, you know, whatever, trainer or coach. I did run track briefly in high school and we did have coaches.
Yeah, I ran cross country in high school.
Oh, nice. What was that, like 5K and 10K?
Yeah, 5K mostly. Like I think at first it was only like 2.5 miles or something like that.
Okay.
I ran the
100.
And
I was mostly a high jumper. So.
Oh, you were? Wow, man.
I wasn't very good, but I was like good enough to start, you know?
Did you run, Trevor, in high school and stuff?
I did short distance stuff too. I did the 4x400 relay was probably the longest, so like a 400. But I would run. I was more hurdles was my thing at the time. 110 high hurdles, 300 hurdles, an occasional 200, all short stuff. And now I just want to run long. You know.
Yeah. I like running long and slow. Long and slow is good for me.
Yeah,
you know, I used to run what they call the 880, which was a really cool race. I don't know what they call it now, you know, but
that sounds cool.
It was a really cool race. Yeah, it was kind of fast, but not super fast. You know,
I ran the 600 a little. I was gonna say we're running low on time, guys. So, Alejandro, do you have any closing thoughts or any? Thing you'd really like to say that we didn't ask you about that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I think I just kind of talked over both of you, so I don't know. Maybe if you do have a question or want to know anything, now's the time.
I appreciate you talking over us because usually we talk over our guests. So it was nice to get a little comeuppance.
Yeah, that's not cool.
This is great. No, I'd only say thank you for shining a spotlight on the fact that Dave's current coach, which is our collective like listening community, is not doing a good enough job. So we'll just cast some aspersions at them.
Yeah, I crowdsource my training. But anyway, Alejandro, this has been awesome. Thanks so much for coming on and talking to us.
I really appreciate it, you guys. Thank you. And good luck with your running, all right?
Thanks. Good luck with the tour.
You.
All right, man.
This is the Power Motion.
Thank you so much, Alejandro, for coming on and talking to us and hanging out. That was really, really great.
Alejandro, that was awesome. Thank you so much for joining as special guest. It's just a blast to have you on.
Yeah, learned a lot about punk history and trail running shoes.
Trail riding. We went into the gear shed. We went into the early 1980s, sort of post nuns, post first iteration of the nuns, San Francisco, no wave scene. I mean, we went into, the border of Italy and France to go on a great trail run. I feel like we did it all.
Yeah, we went all over the place. So that was really awesome. And I may have to go back and listen again myself so I could pull out a couple of those old San Francisco deep cuts and look up some of those bands that I haven't heard.
Yeah, many songs of the week in there for sure.
Yeah, I can already tell I've really got my work cut out for me editing this episode. It's gonna be a lot of some of them are kind of easy, and you just basically, a couple cuts and slap it together and put it on the internet. But this one will take a few more minutes.
Like that 80s movie War Games, where the right move is to just not do anything at all. Do no music cuts except for maybe an Alejandro song here or there, but
Oh yeah, well.
I wouldn't worry about going too deep into those great references. We'll
Yeah.
let the listener do their work for once after failing you as running coach
Oh
collectively.
yeah, I know that was a little rough of you to call out every single listener that way.
I think we're there. We've reached. We're mid season three. I mean, it's time.
Yeah, we're at that point in the narrative.
Yeah. This is when we go antagonistic against the dear listener who has been with us since the very beginning.
It's fun to be back on pod. We only talked like 4 days ago, I think, right? Or 5 days ago.
We did, yeah. We just had our last special guest, Diva Houston, on, which was another awesome talk, very different, and now we're just right back into it.
I got out on a nice 8 mile run this weekend in Central Park, kind of my longest run I think since the Los Angeles Marathon. So that was pretty great. Kind of one of those beautiful kind of perfect days, just running around,
Yeah.
loving running, loving New York, running the park, loving the park. So that was pretty great.
We had introduced popular trail runner Zach Miller to the podcast last week, as somebody who might do some sort of East Coast famous FKTs, particularly routes that we often talk about in New Hampshire that are on the radar, either ones that some of us have done or plan to do, and we had sort of posted about, wishing him luck or some such thing about the we're encouraging him to do a White Mountain Hut Traverse, which many of our special guests have done, and also inviting him on as special guests. And I will say he viewed the message.
Okay, so we're halfway there.
So we're almost there. Yeah,
Yeah,
the first.
halfway to running a hut traverse together, all three of us.
Yeah, we had so this was a very special sort of moment where we had sort of a live impromptu song of the week. You introduced Champaign, Illinois, and we heard back from Eva, and she said, "Absolutely, sounds like a song you could run to."
She said it runs, yeah, so that's good.
It
Congratulations.
runs.
Congratulations, old 97s. You guys have done it.
Yeah.
And that's actually something I didn't think about. We mentioned an old 97 song last week, and I think Alejandro recently was on Rhett Miller's podcast.
Very nice.
Rhett from old 97s. And I haven't listened to that. I should. I bet it's great. I did listen to Alejandro's appearance on Marc Maron, WTF.
Yep.
And
Yep.
I think this is probably the first time we've had a guest that's also been on Marc Maron's podcast. See if we can get another one. See if we can get, Barack Obama or Keith Richards.
These are peers of ours in the podcasting community, so sometimes a special guest will be on more than one podcast, and that's quite all right. And then I guess the only thing I had was you had talked about you saw an Arcade Fire David Bowie clip, which is your first YouTube clip, and I was thinking about my introduction to YouTube, and it was like Bob Dylan playing on the back of the Desire album and doing a version of Oh Sister live with the violinist and everything, and it was just great. And I remember having a similar thought at the time, like, this is a great website.
Yeah, hell of a website.
All it's about.
You were watching some Rolling Thunder era Dylan, it sounds like.
Yeah. And with, I'd come to learn it as more than just Rolling Thunder era Dylan. Yeah,
oh, cool. Unfortunately. Look, this is a cool Rolling Thunder era Dylan website. Yeah, if they'd stuck to that, it might have been a better site. Although there's some pretty cool stuff you can find on there.
There is, including every episode of our podcast.
There we go. Yeah. I don't think we put season one up, did we?
Oh yeah, we had a technical difficulty.
That's okay. You want to manufacture a little scarcity into the thing to make it people want it more. So
yeah,
you got to work harder to find the vintage episodes. I don't remember what our technical difficulty was there, but that's kind of one of the motifs running through this show. There's always some kind of technical difficulty. We had some before we even started recording tonight that the audience didn't even get to hear, and that was pretty exciting.
It was probably the best 5 minutes of podcasting we've done since the lost pilot, the pre-pilot that's gone down in infamy. But we did some good sort of pre-podcasting with Alejandro, where we figured out
how to get ourselves recording, and that was pretty thrilling. I guess maybe we should do a quick race recap for the London Marathon.
Oh yeah, oh, please
go into the. Most exciting category. Who do you think won in the men's wheelchair division?
Marcel Hugues.
That's right. Marcel Hugues won. that's and then actually the big names all up and down in the women's wheelchair division. Catherine De Bruyner, Manuela Schaar.
Okay.
And Tatiana McFadden.
Tatiana was third?
Third place.
Wow.
Crowded field. Yeah.
Crowded field.
And then
there was a time when she was like the Marcel Hugues of her peak. Not to say she's beyond her peak, but I mean, there was a time where she would win almost every race she was in.
And then I'm looking up Zdeno Chara because I didn't look him up in advance. He ran Boston a week ago in 3:30:52. He ran London yesterday, Sunday, in 3 hours, 11 minutes, and 4 seconds. Personal best. So congratulations, Zdeno.
Yes. Future special guest.
We'll keep trying to figure out how to get in touch with you to get you on the podcast, and we'll figure it out. Maybe we'll go to one of your next marathons and hold up a sign asking you to be on.
If any of our listeners who have greatly disparaged on this episode happen to know how to contact Zdeno, just please let us know. Tell Dave Rawlings, post it on our Instagram, send it to the mailbag. Do any one of the many ways of getting in touch with us.
Yeah, any attempted forms of contact will work. And I think that's just about it for this week, right?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, we'll be back. We'll be back with more running, more musings, the regular stuff.
Yeah, all the good stuff. And until next time.
Onward.
Special guest
Alejandro Escovedo.
This is the power.